Psalm 37, verses 1 to 11.
Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil, for evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found, but the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace.
Let's ask God for his guidance and his Spirit's help for us to understand his word. Father God, as we approach these verses, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would guide us this morning. Lord, if there are things in our minds that are distracting us this morning, Lord, we pray that you would help us to put them aside. Help us to sit now in your presence and hear from your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A reader of an American news column once wrote in about an experiment that she'd done, and it was on her neighbor's yard. For years, from her yard, she'd looked over on a neighbor's yard, and every time she did, the grass looked much greener over there. She was an avid gardener, and so she had watered her lawn, she'd aerated it, she'd fertilized it, she'd done everything she could possibly do, but no matter what she did, as she looked over that fence, the grass looked greener over there. And so she decided to conduct an experiment, one that very few people ever think to do. She went over to her neighbor's yard and looked back at her own. And to her surprise, from that perspective, the grass looked so much better than theirs. And so she wrote into this news column asking, what is it that makes the grass look so much greener on the other side of the fence? And the reply she received was quite a wise one. The answer was, the grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence because you're not close enough to see the dirt. When we look at the lives of those around us and compare them to our own, it's quite easy for us to become disappointed. It's not hard for us to recognize the struggles that we are going through in our own lives. Maybe where money's tight for us at the moment. Maybe we're facing health struggles of some kind. Or maybe you're just feeling overstretched or busy or tired or something like that. But whatever our struggles might be, it's always easier for us to see our own burdens than it is for us to see the struggles of those around us. And because we can see what we are facing, those sort of struggles, so much more clearly than we can see the struggles that others are going through, it can be easy for us to look at the lives of those around us and feel like everyone else has it so much easier than we do. And what makes it worse is there are so many around us, you don't even have to look that far, who don't know the Lord, who don't have any interest in following him, and yet they're prospering in all kinds of ways. People who've never darkened the door of a church, or maybe not for a long time, and yet they have happy, healthy families. They drive fancy cars. They live in nice houses. If they're farmers, they have all of the biggest and best machinery and lots of land. And as we look at their lives from this side of the fence, it can be so easy for us to think that the grass is greener over there. We can easily find ourselves envying those who don't know the Lord, thinking that their lives are somehow easier than ours. They don't seem to have the health struggles that we've been facing. They always have money to burn. They always have the latest and greatest things, and they can sleep in on Sundays and do whatever they want with the rest of the day. But while it might appear sometimes like life is easier for them, it really only appears that way from this side of the fence. Sure, our neighbours might be prospering financially. They might have a loving family, and they might have a nice big house and a big farm. But unless they know Jesus, unless their sins have been taken away, and they've been given the certain hope of life beyond the grave, whether we can see it or not, their lives will be filled with a sense of uncertainty. And unless they hear and believe the good news of Jesus, they'll spend their days trying to find a sense of meaning and purpose, but will never find what they are looking for. From our side of the fence, it can appear as though those who don't know the Lord are prospering, while we are facing struggles every single day. That's only because on our side of the fence, we're not close enough to see the dirt over there. We're all prone to envy what others have and what we think they have. But when we envy what others have, it's because we've forgotten the blessings that we have received through Jesus. And in Psalm 37, the psalmist is teaching us that envy is a form of unbelief. When we desire what others have and resent the fact that they have those things and we don't, it's because we've lost sight of the far greater blessings we already have through Jesus. We might not have the newest model car. We might be facing serious health struggles or any other number of difficulties in this life. But as those who have the certain hope of life beyond the grave, we are the ones who have the one thing that everybody desperately needs. We are the ones to be envied because we are the ones who have our after-retirement plan all worked out. The psalmist says, "Do not fret because of those who are evil or be envious of those who do wrong, for like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away." What the psalmist is saying is that although there'll be times when the lives of those who don't know the Lord will seem better from our side of the fence, don't lose sight of the hope we have in the Lord. Don't lose sight of the fact that the hope we have is far greater than the temporary wealth, the temporary blessings that others often enjoy. No matter how successful those who reject the Lord may seem in this life, their lives are like the grass of the field. Now, living in the country, we know that at certain times of the year, the grass can be incredibly green and lush. In fact, it is at the moment. But towards the end of the year, when the sun gets hot and it gets dry, hopefully after harvest, the grass just dies off. It withers. It becomes dead and lifeless. And in a similar way, those who reject the Lord might prosper for a time, but they will soon pass away. That is, unless they come to Him. They work hard to gain financial security in this life. In their retirement, they enjoy a life of luxury and relaxation. They travel around doing all the things that they had always wanted to do, without any thought about what comes after retirement. And so the psalmist is reminding us not to envy those who are passing away, because the hope we have in Jesus is not only the forgiveness of our sins and being made right with God, but also it is a guarantee of life forever with him. And so to help us avoid this temptation to envy those who are passing away, the psalmist gives us three ways to see that the grass on our side of the fence is actually far greener than the grass over there. Now, the first instruction the psalmist gives us is found in verse 3, where the psalmist says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture." Now, when we envy what others have, it's because we aren't trusting the Lord to provide for all of our needs. We want things, so we think we need those things. We see others have those things, and so we want them even more. And we resent the fact that they have them and we don't. But when we trust in the Lord to provide for all of our needs, we dwell in safety, knowing that our loving God knows what we need and wants what is best for us. Now, he won't necessarily take away the struggles we've been having with our health. He won't necessarily fix up our financial problems, and he won't necessarily take away the things that are stressing us. He may choose to do one of those things. He may choose to do all of them or none of them. But what he will do is keep our hearts safe from getting so caught up in the things of this life that we lose sight of the hope we have in him. Trusting in the Lord isn't a guarantee that our lives will be easy from then on in. But if we trust in the Lord for everything we need, we dwell in safety. Because the greatest thing we possess, the hope we have in Jesus, will be secure. Now, the second instruction the psalmist gives us is found in verse 4. The psalmist says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Now, this is a very well-known verse, and one that is often misunderstood and misused. Some have tried to claim that this verse is saying that as long as you delight in the Lord, he will bless you with abundance in this life, that you'll prosper in everything you do. You'll have riches, good health, a loving family, every single desire that you could ever want. But that isn't the reason that the psalmist is encouraging us to take our delight in the Lord. I'm a member of the local historic car club, and each year the car club holds a breakfast over in Tamora. And at that breakfast, there are always lots of husbands who come along hoping to talk to other guys about their cars, and wives who get dragged along as well. My wife's often one of them. And I know there's some other ladies here that are too. And what usually happens is the husbands are keen to talk to each other about their old cars, and the wives will sit there wishing they were anywhere else in the world other than where they are at the time. The wives usually aren't that interested in hearing about the intricacies of old cars, because the only reason they came to the breakfast in the first place was either because they were dragged along or because they were hoping to be social. Well, a lot of the men are very keen to talk about their old cars because it's the main reason that they go to that event at all. They delight in the opportunity to talk to someone who actually cares about re-energizing old magnetos and setting the dwell on their points. It's something that they really enjoy. In a similar way, when we delight in the Lord, when he is the object of our joy, then we'll receive the desires of our hearts. Now, of course, that isn't a blank check to get whatever we want. But then again, maybe it is. Because if we delight in the Lord, if we find our joy in serving him, we won't be worried about how well other people are doing. We won't be interested in envying others because we'll have already received the desire of our hearts as our hope and our joy is totally grounded in him. Now, the third instruction the psalmist gives us is found in verse 7. There the psalmist says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." In 1 Samuel chapter 13, Saul, the very first king of Israel, was in quite a bit of trouble. Jonathan, his son, had attacked the Philistines, Israel's enemies, and stirred them up so they were ready to come and attack Israel. And so Saul, to defend Israel, assembled an army and went to Gilgal. He went to Gilgal so that to wait for Samuel, the prophet Samuel, who would come and make sacrifices on behalf of Israel and ask God what they should do. But while Saul and his men were waiting in Gilgal for Samuel to come and inquire of the Lord, the Philistines assembled a huge army, much greater than the one Israel had assembled. 3,000 chariots with riders and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore. Now, when the men of Israel heard about this, they were terrified. They were shaking in their boots. Some of them began to hide in the caves and others hid among the pile of rocks, while others even went to the length of crossing the Jordan River to go and hide over there. Now Saul knew he was in really big trouble, but he also knew that they were not going to be able to defeat this vast army without the Lord's help. And so Saul waited. He waited for Samuel to come and make those sacrifices. He waited day after day. But when Samuel didn't arrive when Saul expected him, he became impatient. And he took matters into his own hands. Instead of waiting for the Lord's timing, he made those sacrifices himself. He was hoping to appease God, to make God happy in his own strength. And because of his impatience and his unwillingness to wait on the Lord, God gave Saul's kingdom to someone else. It isn't always easy to be still and to wait on the Lord. It can be hard to wait on the Lord when we know we have a particular need, something we feel is urgent. Sometimes we just really want God to answer our prayers right now. Saul was in serious trouble. He wasn't imagining it. He was in very serious trouble. And so were the people of Israel. His men were fleeing for fear of this incredible army. But because Saul was unwilling to wait on the Lord, because he was unwilling to trust God with this need, God took his kingdom away. Often to be still and wait on the Lord takes a great deal of trust. It requires us to believe that God won't leave us hanging, that he will provide for all of our needs. And maybe not in our timing, maybe not in the way we would prefer, but in his perfect timing. As those who trust in Jesus, we're called to be still, not inactive, but still, trusting that God will work all things together for the good of those who love him. Of course, that won't always mean abundant blessings in this life. But it does mean that God will provide for all of our needs, both now and into eternity. We're always going to experience the temptation to think that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Because in this life, We often see those who are rejected, who've rejected the Lord, prospering in all sorts of ways. Or those who are trusting the Lord face struggles all the time. But we need to remember that that's only because we are looking at those worries with the wrong perspective. We are looking at them from the wrong side of the fence. While we might be tempted to envy the lives of others, if we have faith in Jesus, we are in fact the ones to be envied. The grass is in fact greener on our side of the fence. We have a hope that goes beyond retirement and into eternity. We have a sure and certain salvation that was purchased through the Son of God. That's why the psalmist is instructing believers to trust in the Lord, even when we can't see what he is doing, to delight in him, because he is the source of our hope, and to be still and wait patiently for him, not taking matters into our own hands, but trusting him to provide for all of our needs. The grass may at times appear greener on the other side of the fence, but as verse 2 says, those who reject the Lord will soon die away like grass. Our side of the fence may not seem as green because we can see the dirt. But as verse 11 reminds us, those who trust in the Lord, the meek, will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity in him. God has blessed us eternally by sending Jesus his Son to pay the price of our sin. And he did that so that we could be raised to new life in him and enjoy eternal life with God the Father forever in the perfect promised land. You can only imagine how green the grass is in heaven. We have no reason to envy those who don't know the Lord, because we have everything we could possibly ever need for this life and for the life to come in the perfect work of Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we recognize that we have all been guilty of envying what others have, of looking at their lives and feeling like we're doing it tough. Lord, we've had times when we can see that we're in trouble and we've struggled to be still and wait for your sovereign hand to work in our lives. Lord, we pray that you would grow our trust in you. Help us to rely on you for everything we need. Help us not to look over at what others have, but to find our sole source of joy and hope in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.